In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. As they say in England, Happy Christmas. As they say in Mexico, Feliz Navidad. Bless you. Bless you for your presence today. Today we have as our Gospel lesson the Christmas story according to John. Now I give thanks for the Gospels, especially of Luke and Matthew, because they give us the details of our Lord's human origin, especially Luke. Luke gives us details that no other scripture has about Jesus' birth and early days. Only in Luke do we have the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth. Only in Luke do we have the story of the shepherds. Only in Matthew do we have the story of the three kings. So what we usually do for Christmas pageants and crushes, we just mix them all together. I love the plays with stage left coming the shepherds, stage right coming the three kings, then we have the innkeeper, Mary, Joseph, the animals, and we just combine everything. How beautiful that is. But John's Christmas story is very different. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing came into being without them, and through Him all things came into being that were made. Oh, suppose that was the only Christmas story we had. What would our Christmas look like? What would our children's plays be like? We should try it sometime, based on John's Gospel. But as Matthew and Luke give us the human origins in their Christmas story, John gives us the cosmic origin through his Christmas story. And though as wordy and as mysterious as it is, the cosmic origin of the Christ of God is important. As I said last night in the homily, since the beginningless beginning, God was never seen alone. There was always another with God, the Christ of God. And yet we believe in just one God, but in three persons. Thus we get into to the doctrine of the Trinity. That's another feast and another sermon. But the doctrine of the Trinity is very important. The fourth century, about the year 325, there were arguments about who is the Father, who is the Son, who is the Holy Spirit. So Constantine called all of his bishops together at his summer palace in Nicaea. And they hammered out what eventually became what we now know as the Nicene Creed. It's in three paragraphs. It's too bad that we chant it so we don't see the delineated paragraphs. The first is about the Father. The second about the Son, the Christ. The third, the Holy Spirit. But the second paragraph is the longest one. Who was the Christ of God? As close to God as the God thought, and God's breath. And according to John, borrowing from Greek philosophy, God's Word, the Logos. This Logos of God created all things. It was, remember in Genesis we're told that God spoke the world into its creation. So the Christ of God existed since the beginning of eternity. How do we get our minds around such a belief? And then, on a particular day and time, this Christ of God, this Logos, in John's word, became flesh in the person of Jesus of Nazareth and walked and breathed on this earth. So how can the cosmic description of John become as dear to us as the beautiful details of Matthew and Luke? Why, I tell a story. I know it was dear for one person, I knew personally. I remember in college I took Greek because I wanted to get an early start on seminary. And what was beautiful about the Greek class, there were 15 of us. And all of us, and almost all of us, were pre-seminary students. And some of the greatest friendships that I still keep over today come from that little Greek class because we're all going to seminary. All 14 of us, only one was not. And he happened to be the top of the class. He happened to be the only agnostic in the class. But poor thing, can you imagine what it was like surrounded by 14 other overzealous seminarians to be? And we argued and we talked and we discussed and we did things that only young people can do. He would, the one person, Jonathan, would show up with his skateboard and his headband. And we would talk all night, solving all the problems of the world. But John held his own in his agnosticism. And then he received a scholarship to Greece. He was so brilliant to study classical Greek. And we said goodbye to Jonathan. And later that summer, before the school year, I was working a job in a field, mowing the lawn or something in the baseball field, I think it was. And we had a chain link fence, and there was Jonathan. At the end of he'd come back from Greece. He came on a skateboard with his head down, his hair down to his shoulders. I ran over, "Hey, Jonathan." He said, "Hi, John David. I'm a Christian." "What? What? What, did you have a conversion? What was it? Which one of us talked you into it?" He said, "Nobody. Nobody." It was the prologue of John, the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning, there was a Word. He said, "I was traveling on a boat to Greece, and I came to the conclusion that if the Logos of God truly is, if the Logos of God really came in the person of Jesus, I would want to devote my entire life, not waste a minute, serving Him and loving Him. The problem is, I just needed to be sure. So I just said the prayer. If you're real, be known to me." And then he said, "I guess it was the Holy Spirit. There was no great feeling, but suddenly I just knew what I knew, what I knew, what I knew. The Logos of God was Christ Jesus. And I will serve Him for the rest of my life." And to this day, in the 60s, Jonathan is serving Him as a minister. And so, may today, as wordy as it may seem, as theological and cosmic as it may seem, may John's Christmas story be as dear to us as Matthew and as Luke. May the Logos of God come in our hearts, this liturgy, through this Mass, that we may know Him and serve Him and not waste a moment of our life serving Him until we breathe our last and then beyond. Amen. And a blessed Christmas.